Well, hello everyone. It's good to see you here. Would you please turn with me in your Bible to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. I am going to read the first 8 verses this morning. We are going to finish what we know as step number 6 in our series that we've been going through on the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, referring to the temple. And this is the last one, the New Jerusalem. Lord willing, we will be going from chapter 21 and 22 up to verse 5. But I'm going to look at this morning at verse 8, 1 through 8. Would you please follow along with me as I read? It's Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throng saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." In verse 5, "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for those words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have inheritance or a heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for cowardly, faithless, detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Well, may the Lord be praised through the proclamation of his word today. If you would, in your bulletin, I'd like you to take out the bulletin insert. And this is where I'm going this morning. You know from, I have the other bulletin from the other weeks. I've been working through those 6 different things regarding the temple. And number 6 on the list under the temple was the New Jerusalem, which Jesus Christ himself reveals to believers in Revelation 21 and 22. And what I have this morning is I'm going to try to do an overview of all of this material today and the next 45 minutes. And if you don't shoot me, we will get it accomplished. Would you notice with me as we see this? We're going to see in chapter 21 and 22, it speaks about the final dwelling place of God. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and how the temple of the new heavens and new earth will be God himself. We, the believers, will be with him. And while the bride of Christ is described, and she will be described as the holy city, and that'll be key for you to understand the rest of the text. The holy city is the bride is the holy city. So we'll get into that, and I'll explain that when we get to verse 9. Well, anyways, in our first 8 verses, which I read today, it speaks about the new heavens and new earth. It introduces to us the new Jerusalem, the new creation that will be created, and God's eternal presence with the redeemed, and only the redeemed. There will be no non-believers on the new creation. When we move on, the next whole section from verse 9 all the way to 22:5 speaks about the New Jerusalem and God's glory. Its final verses speak about the New Jerusalem that is to come. It also speaks about God's redemptive purposes for his people and the new world to come. When you break that down into two components, verses 9 through 27 speaks about the new Jerusalem. And this is, I'm going to put some time on the verse 9 here. The bride is the Lamb. And what we're going to see in this is the contrast is the new Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, is going to be glorious and holy. What we have to remember, which we're not looking at today, is this is in contrast to Babylon. Now, I say that for this reason. Babylon is meant throughout Scripture as those who are opposed to God. They were always opposed to God. So when now when we read this section, it's the final part of the story, and now she is glorious. And we're going to see that, and it's going to make a big thing of it, compared to what Babylon and what the world tried to rule over God. So that's the contrast. I won't go with the Babylon today, but there wasn't enough time. And then finally, what we will see in the last five verses, and I will do it more like a summary, it speaks about Eden being restored. The new Jerusalem represents the new and the greater Eden, which was lost in the garden of Eden by Adam and Eve. And now this new Jerusalem will be free of sin. It'll be free of the curse that's on the world at the present, where God's people will now be able to serve him forever in the new heavens and the new earth. So if you are there with me, I'm going to read the first verse, and I'm going to ask you to please turn with me right now to 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10, but so you'll have your finger there, but I'm going to read the first verse again of Revelation 21, 1, and then go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Revelation 21, verse 1 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." Now, this is where we need to go to actually help get us orientated by 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10. This is where the Apostle Peter taught this same truth some 30 years before John wrote the book of Revelation. So follow along. It's 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." That's why the Lord is delaying waiting for the fulfillment of all those who will be redeemed when he will start the new heaven and the new earth. Verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." That's the second advent. "The heavens will appear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare," as in wasted. The Apostle Peter had obviously learned this truth about the end time from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and he was giving a warning to the believers that he knew as he was traveling through what we know as Turkey today, and not to be deceived by the many other teachings that were coming and all the stuff that was they were being told and all the different many scenarios that people were whipping up and trying to say. Instead, we know that there is going to be a new heavens and a new earth, and that the Lord's army will defeat all of the beasts and all of mankind, and Christ will have his final judgment. I'll mention the verse. It's going to be Revelation 19, 19, and 21. We aren't going to turn there for time. So what we're seeing is that the Apostle Peter had informed the believers of his day, and the Apostle John was warning believers 30 years later, as we read the book of Revelation, the Lord is going to start with a new, clean slate. The old world, which we now live in, will be destroyed by fire, and the Babylon of mankind will be no more. Now, I'm going to turn back to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2, if you'll follow along. And it said, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This new holy city, the New Jerusalem, represents the redeemed of the Lord from every generation. That would have been after Adam and Eve, right to the last person that will be the redeemed person when he says, this is it, it is finished. Only those who are holy will be able to enter into God's presence. And by this time in the series of events, only the redeemed of the Lord will be around. Those who had opposed the Lord have already been judged by this time when this new clean slate is going through. We know this from the book of Revelation, chapter 18, verses 21 through 24, where it says that there will be a judgment and that this will take place, and now it will only be the redeemed. And so, as we move on to verse 3, it says, "And I heard a voice from the throne saying," and this is a quote from Ezekiel, chapter 47, verse 7. This is Revelation 21, verse 3. "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men." Remember, the dwelling place was the oika. That means that the Shekinah glory is with that people. The divine presence of God is there. "He will dwell with them." He will, that the presence will be there. "And they will be my people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and the death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain." And I'll ask you why. The reason is, for the former things. What former things? That's Adam's fallen race and Babylon have passed away. Everything will be cleaned. Now we have come full circle. What was lost by Adam in the garden back in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 24, has now been corrected or restored by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the second Adam, when he came and was with men. Matthew told us that when Jesus Christ came, which was Matthew 1:23, it says he called him Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. And he changed that. He changed what had happened. The intimate fellowship that was lost by Adam and Eve with God in the garden has now been restored by Emmanuel, God with us. He came and he dwelt. Remember, we looked at oika last week. That was the Greek word, indwelling among men, breaking down the dividing wall between sinful men and a holy God. Then, after he restored the way back, and for those of you who remember me going through this a while back, how did he restore the way back? When he was resurrected, that was Acts chapter 2, he ascended into heaven. Another passage that covers that is Psalm 24. When you read Psalm 24, it's Christ, he's outside of the heavenly gates, and he calls to the gatekeeper, "Open the gates of heaven to me. The King of glory is here." And they yell back to him and say, "Well, who's the King of glory?" And he says, "I am, because I have been righteous in my battle and I've been victorious. Open the gates to me." And after he has done that, he, Jesus Christ, sent the Holy Spirit to come down and to dwell with, that's oika again, among the redeemed of the Lord. Now the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, indwells you. John 14, 16, "I will give you the Comforter, and he will not leave you or forsake you." Now the redeemed of the Lord should be looking forward to this day when all that was prophesied by the prophets will be brought to its fulfillment, to its completion. As verse 4 tells us, when the Lord will wipe away every tear. That's talking about your deep emotions. "And death shall be no more." Well, death is because of the fall, the disobedience by Adam. We're under a new Adam who is righteous and who will live forever. No more mourning. Well, no more whining and complaining over what's happening in this fallen and cursed world, because we will be in a new place with God where that is going to be eliminated. No more crying and no more pain. All because all of the former things, as the verse says, has passed away. We're looking forward to that. Well, notice what it says in verse 5, Revelation 21:5. and he was seated on the throne, said, "Behold, I am making all things new." I can't tell you how many book titles have that in it about when it talks about eschatology or last things or end times. This is all going to be new, and it's going to be built around the righteousness of our God and of the saints. And as the final verse part of it says, also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And verse 6 starts out saying, "It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the spiritual thirsty, he will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." Who made the payment? Jesus Christ made the payment. We won't have to make the payment when we rely on Christ as our righteousness. When we bow to Christ and make him our righteousness, he's made the payment. So we have it without price. Verse 7, "The one who conquers," that's over your flesh through Christ, "will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." And as verse 8 goes on to say, "But as for the," that would be the spiritually cowardly, "the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers and sexual immoral sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Now, I won't get into this whole side. You can read Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 36, or through 46, where Jesus Christ is now at the judgment seat. You can read the same thing also in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 15, where he is going to judge all men and the angels. And we saw how the Lord is going to accomplish this. Peter, we just read it in that 2 Peter 3, verses 9 and 10, when he will purify the earth, and God is going to start with a clean slate. Where this is where all of the redeemed are going to be placed into the new earth, where there is no one who is not redeemed. Only the redeemed will be placed upon the new earth, because the judgment will be against the fallen angels. And it will be against all of those who have been opposed to God, those who are of the Babylon, the other city that is there. Well, as verse 8 tells us, that the non-believers will no longer be around. They will already have been judged by Jesus Christ before the construction of the new heavens and the new earth. That was Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 through 15. And that is what verse 5 meant when it said the words, "I am making all things new." He is really saying, "I'm cleaning house, and nothing is exempt." Now, I'm going to take that step forward into verse 9 through 27, but the whole section talks about the new Jerusalem and God's glorious presence, but in particular, in this particular place, as we are going to see this, I'm going to say now and repeat it a couple of times that verse 9 is key for understanding the rest of what is going to be spoken about. This is the new Jerusalem, and it's going to be that we're talking about. The redeemed of the Lord should desire to live for the new Jerusalem. The redeemed of the Lord are God's temple today and should be looking forward to God's presence in the future kingdom, the new Jerusalem, the city of God. All of those terms, the future kingdom, the new Jerusalem, the city of God, the bride of Christ, it'll be also the wife of the Lamb, the holy city, they are all the same person, group of people. They are not separate individual groups like some have taught. And I will show you that. Would you notice with me as we start reading verse 9? It says, "One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me." So an angel is approaching John and says to him, "Come, I will show you." And does yours say, "The bride, the wife of the Lamb"? That is so key that if you miss this, you will not understand the rest of the verses. It is talking about the wife. This is, and so no matter what other imagery or words that are going to be used, it is about the wife. Verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. So who is the holy city, the Jerusalem coming out of heaven? It's the wife. It's the bride. That's who it is. This is key, because if you don't get this, you will misunderstand the rest of it. The bride appears as the holy city, the new Jerusalem, the redeemed of the Lord, which was coming down out of heaven from God, as a bride who is walking down the aisle when she is being presented to her husband-to-be during her wedding ceremony. Verse 9 again, so as we see the bride, the wife of the Lamb, she symbolizes the saints from every generation, from Adam on to the very last person that will be redeemed. Right up, and they are going to be the, and this is going to be her final presentation, and how beautiful she really is. She is being presented to her husband. We're told this, and I'm going to ask you to please turn with me to Revelation 19, verses 6 through 18, 6 through 8, excuse me. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 8. And here we will see a little bit more that will help us. I wish I had more time instead of 45 minutes. Verse 6, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Verse 8, the fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. What is the fine linen that she's wearing in that verse? Verse 8, what is that fine linen? The fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. That's now. That's you're going to be your clothing. That's going to be the wedding gown that we believers, the church, the bride of Christ, the wife of Christ will be wearing. Well, the righteous acts of the saints will be referred to. It will also include, we will hear as we read the next sections, it'll include the apostles, it'll include the prophets and the saints down through all the ages, when all of their righteous acts will be in full display as precious jewels to the Lord's eyes. So now, when you and I read these next verses, this is going to be Revelation 21, verses 11 through 21. Now, I'm going to use this as an example so that you don't get mixed ideas. He is going to change his illustration from a bride to a city, talking about the bride of Christ. In the same way, I'll use this illustration. I've watched a football game a while back, and this man caught a football, and he ran down the sideline, and that guy said, he turned on the Jets. Now, was there physically a jet engine on that man? Well, was it from a Boeing 747? Or maybe it was from a Delta? Well, do you see what happens? I can start talking about airplanes and sizes of engines, but it was just talking about a man who ran very fast. But now my whole distraction is, well, what kind of a plane? What kind of an engine? No, you've missed the illustration. The illustration was the man was fast. Now we're going to give the illustration of this. This is the bride of Christ. And he's trying to describe how beautiful she is. And she is like a large, gorgeous city. And she's glorious. So now we're talking about the bride of Christ. So now, follow along with me as I read this. Remember, verse 9 is the key. He said it's the bride, it's the wife of Christ. And it's the new Jerusalem. This is the new Jerusalem coming down. And he's going to use, the wife now has become described like a city. Listen how beautiful she is. Verse 11, it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. Verse 12, it had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels as the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel who started the bride. The bride is from the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east and on the north, three on the south and three on the west. Verse 14, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. That was now what we know as the church is now included. Do you hear this? The bride is now made up of believers of Old Testament saints and New Testament saints. The angel who walked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. The measurement of the city with the rod and found it to be 1,200 stada, and that would refer to stada is for miles, so it's 12,000 miles in length, and its width and height is as long. And then verse 17, the angel measured the wall, being human measurements, and it was 114 cubits. That equals out to 216 feet thick. The wall was made of jasper, and the city was pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundation of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second was sapphire, the third was agate, the fourth was an emerald, the fifth was onyx, the sixth was ruby, the seventh was crystallite, the eighth was beryl, the ninth was topaz, the tenth was turquoise, the 11th was jacinth, and the 12th was amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great city street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. Well, if I was using some old school stuff that I was taught in verse 21, I'd like to know how big that oyster was that had that pearl. It's nothing about that. It's about how glorious is the bride. She is precious. She's magnificent. He's trying to describe how great her righteousness is. Is the bride righteous? Yes, she's on full display. The bride's righteousness is as incredible and as massive and as overwhelming throughout the centuries. Like a city on a hill, like the holy city of God. The Lamb of God will be well-pleasing to her master. She is coming down glorious. And God is saying, I am well pleased with you. You are precious in my sight. And she is not like the old city of Jerusalem or Babylon, who sinned right in the face of God at the temple, as we learned a couple of weeks ago from Ezekiel chapter 9 and 11, where they actually committed all kinds of sexual acts right inside the temple. And now the bride presents herself. Would you notice with me in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22? Notice now what we are getting to see even a little bit closer. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Now the time of the wedding is finally complete. Christ has taken his bride in hand, and she is at his right side. The city of God, the believers of God, the bride, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are now templing together as husband and wife. And she is going to be his bride forever. She is now at his side always. Verse 23, the city, the bride, does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light. In the Lamb and its lamp. Jesus Christ is going to be that for the bride. It's going to be everything for her. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah in chapter 60. The reason I'm turning here is Isaiah prophesied that this exactly would happen. It's Isaiah chapter 60 and verses 19 and 21. This is what Isaiah said. And then the next verse in our passage from the Revelation, verse 24, will also be found in Isaiah 60, only it will be found in verses 3 through 5. This has already been promised, already been spoken of, 750 years before Jesus Christ came, and now makes it 2,750 years before our time. Listen what Isaiah had to say. It's Isaiah chapter 60 and verses 19 through 21. He is talking about the city, the bride. And he said, the sun is verse 19, Isaiah 60, verse 19. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go out, nor your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Verse 21, your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land, that would be the new heavens and the new earth, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. Isaiah prophesied exactly what will happen, which is now for us, yet in the future. And here John picks up that same truth and uses it to encourage us so that we will be the bride today and live righteously so that we will shine and we will be like that holy and precious city that is all precious. If you will stay there in the Isaiah passage, back up to verses 3 through 5. The reason is I'm going to read Revelation 21, 24. It says, the nations, that is, of all the believing Gentiles, will walk by its light, and the redeemed kings of the earth will bring their splendor into this city. Notice what Isaiah says. Isaiah also foresaw that on the new heavens and new earth, that believers will be multi-ethnic, Jew and Gentile alike. This is Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 3. The nations, that's multi-ethnic, shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exalt, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. On the new heaven and on the new earth, after all of what we recognize now is gone, only righteous people will exist. And they will commute and they will be working with one another in unison to bring God all the glory and all the honor that is truly His. And so we will see at that time that anyone who comes and is a believer will be able to be with God, commune with God. And if you'll notice with me back in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, I'm going to read verses 25 through 27. Notice what it says. It says, on no day will its gates ever be shut. Revelation 21, verse 25. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations, that's believing Gentiles, will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. As verse 25 refers to, what is he referring to? Genesis chapter 24 and verse 24, when God had closed the gates of heaven to fallen man Adam, this is the verses, he drove this is Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherub and the flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. He is closing the gate to mankind. Now, we see a prophecy of something to come, which is Psalm 24. In verses 7 through 9, it says, and when Christ ascended into heaven after his death, and then in his ascension was in Acts 2, he says, lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the strong and the mighty, the Lord, the mighty in battle. It was about the spiritual battle of righteousness. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Did Christ enter into the heavenly of heavenlies? Yes, he did. And then another verse that is helpful is Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, where John says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. Up until Christ had entered into heaven's gates, nobody had been back into heaven spiritually. And it says, in a voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. And so after, and then we're to take place after this is what we're reading in Revelation chapter 21. So now that we know these heavenly gates, which were once closed to all of mankind, have now been opened by Jesus Christ, the righteous King, and those heavenly gates will never be shut again to those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, as in verse 27. Nothing impure will ever enter through those gates, the New Jerusalem, and bother the bride of Christ ever again. And as I close, I'm going to do a summary of the last five verses, talking about the garden of it's finally restored. I'll read the verses. Then the angel showed me a river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the city, through the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed. But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there. That means the Shekinah glory, the divine presence of God, will be there. And his servants will worship him. Verse 4, they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. That's always before them. They will be always recognizing it. And night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The Apostle John now ends his vision of the New Jerusalem. Verses 1 and 2 highlights the everlasting drink and food that believers will enjoy. Verses 3 through 5, he points out how our relationship with God has been restored. Believers will never be accursed. All of us will have access to the throne of God. We will all have the privilege to worship him face to face. His presence will always be on the front of our minds. And all of this is because Jesus Christ has established a greater Eden, the new heavenly Jerusalem, where everyone there is free from Adam's sin and the curse. And as Revelation 22, verse 7 says, and behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. This is what we are promised by the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will be that shining, we, you and I, will be one of those jewels that were mentioned, or precious gold, because of your righteousness, the way you live today. It'll be part of the righteous acts of the saints that you and I will be dressed with. And brothers and sisters, we have this hope, and we look forward to this. This is our blessing. This is our inheritance that is being spoken about throughout the scriptures, that you have help and you have hope through the Lord Jesus Christ when you and I are loving him, adoring him, and worshiping him in all truth and in all righteousness. Shall we close in prayer? Our Lord God, thank you for letting us know who you are and that someday we will truly see you face to face. We thank you for letting us know that there is a heavenly kingdom and that when we will be there, it will be peaceful. There will be no more crying. There will be no more shame. There will be no more problems that we will be wrestling with like we do in this world, in this Babylon. Please give us the help and the hope through the work of your Spirit in our lives so that we, in our hearts, may look forward to the new Jerusalem. And we praise you and thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen.